All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Comics Corner. We're gonna do some Witchblade. I know you're excited about that. Let's see how many issues we can go through. Let's start with 5. How about that? Beautiful art, as always. Witchblade, issue 5. David Wohl, Christina Z, story. Michael Turner, pencils, co-plot. D-Tron, inks. J.D. Smith, colors. Dennis Heisler, letters. 96. From an outsider's point of view, it seems so normal. Morning in Manhattan. A girl sleeping in a guy's bed. Jake's bed. Funny, it did seem normal, but something very abnormal happened while I slept. I keep going over it in my mind. If I try to concentrate on it for very long, the feeling disappears. A feeling I had while I was sleeping, like a dream, it felt too real. What am I saying? It was real. I felt it on me, like some protective shell. And the weird thing is, it felt right on me, and I didn't want to wake up, because it felt so good, so safe. As I lay there, slowly coming out of my sleep, my mind began its daily routine of sorting out the stuff from the previous day. And what it sorted was neither normal nor safe. I know homicide detectives aren't known for having regular lives, but this was pretty crazy, even by our standards. I could see myself writing it up on a status report. Attempted to bring Yi, my old partner, back to life with a glove that was Exhibit C at the Rialto disaster. Threw the glove in the coroner's incinerator and proceeded to Better Bodies gym to work off some frustration. I'd go on to write that while there, I met an interesting man, Ken, and upon my departure was kidnapped by high-end thugs, taken aboard a yacht, and forced to put on the glove that somehow ended up in their hands. Chief Siri be reading in disbelief, especially when he came to my notes about the man wielding a broadsword who was the very person who killed my partner at the Rialto. And like me, he'd be suspicious about Ken arriving on Liberty Island at the moment of my near demise. And if yesterday's events weren't odd enough, today's were just beginning. Pez, you awake? Until that moment, I hadn't realized the glove that I'd thrown carelessly on the floor last night had somehow ended up back on my hand. But when Jake knocked on the door with breakfast, it suddenly felt bulky, alien. He opened it like a frat guy in his dorm, not even thinking that I might be totally naked, which I pretty much was. And then it happened. The glove changed before my eyes, as if it didn't want Jake to see it. Unlike me at the moment, it was modest. Oh, sorry, I'll come back. No, it's okay. Come in. I'll just set this over. Holy Sarah, look at your face. Jake, you don't have to rub it in. No, Sarah, I mean it. Look. Huh? I've heard of a quick recovery. Sarah, what happened? Oh, Jake, just let me eat. I'll be out in a few minutes. I should have been stumbling over my words, nervous, anxious, and more than anything, still badly bruised, but I was none of those. Oh, you know, I'm a real quick healer, Jake. Okay, take your time. I realized that I wasn't even hungry as my eyes wandered down Ken's jacket on the floor. I picked apart the reasons why I decided not to hang it up last night, like I was minimizing him in my mind by keeping it on the floor. I was bugged at how a total stranger could enter my personal space so quickly. The card he gave me with his number on it is just begging me to call and find out more about him. And right now is as good a time as any to get started. Something's going on. Hey, Jake. I borrowed some of your clothes. Some taste you got here, but I can say I've worn worse. Look, on a serious note, I'm really sorry about last night. You know it's been hectic. I really didn't mean to impose. Sir, you can impose any time you want. Well, Jake, I might take you up on that. You do that. Sarah, we need to talk later, okay? It's about work. You got it, Jake. See ya. What? Broken? What the hell is happening? Beeped. Now, Ian, I've called this meeting to tell you that there was absolutely no excuse for your behavior yesterday. None, you hear me? None. I meticulously prepared you for this. I entrusted you with a gift. With a gift. A gift of power. And you abused it. Apparently you were too busy using that newfound power to see that you were ruining my plan. Were you intending to use it for your own selfish beep, beep? Ahem. Hello. Ah, Mr. Sumner. I've been looking forward to hearing from you. No, not busy at all, just having a little staff meeting. Oh, Mr. Sumner, you are too kind, but it is you who should be thanked. Your work with Amnesty International has been exemplary. I've been to many countries, and I've seen the multitudes of atrocities committed against undeserving people. And if I could somehow prevent one person from wrongly being tortured, that alone would be worth my donation. Yes, lunch is perfect. Maybe around a quarter million. I'll have my checkbook ready. Goodbye. Well, Nottingham, I hope you will learn your lesson about power and how it corrupts. I'm doing this because I care. And remember, if anything like this ever happens again, I'll expect you to choose from among my more brutal methods of punishment instead of a mere 1,000 gallons of water. Pity your silly henchman Wright couldn't be here to console you. 10:10 a.m. Everyone in the neighborhood told Maria Buzanis that her daughter Lisa should be a model. Lisa thought it would be cool. What 12-year-old wouldn't? So she and Mom went to the Cope Modeling Agency to see what was available. Yes, we've been handling your agency's records and accounts for 2 years now, ever since Boucher Modeling and Casting bought it out. Oh, and Lisa, our name is pronounced Boucher, not Boucher. The receptionist got quite a kick out of you. Excuse me, got quite a kick out of that when you asked for directions. 80% of the work at Boucher is haute couture. Runway modeling. All the top designers use our girls. You could say we're the Chanel of the modeling world. After a brief appearance in a Six Flags Great Adventure commercial, Lisa landed that role that made her infamous for one long summer. The Milk Girl. If you watched TV 4 years ago, and odds are you saw that commercial more than enough times. The one where this 12-year-old girl is surrounded by models and learns that if she drinks milk, she could be like them. Come, I want to show you the studio where the girls get ready for local assignments, test shots, and magazine shoots. There's a fashion mogul in town from Germany. It's the new Deform line. Take a look at some of the designs. That summer, Lisa got a taste of the price of fame. As soon as the commercial aired, everyone started calling her the Milk Girl. It was fun for a little while, but when cabbies and construction workers started yelling, "Yo, I got your milk right here!" Lisa decided that wasn't much fun after all and gave up her burgeoning career. Recently, she's had second thoughts. If Lisa had sought professional help, like she was told to after her mother's death, her therapist would probably have diagnosed her attention-starved child. Lisa would argue that she was friends and she gets support from Aunt Rhonda, who currently takes care of her, as well as her friend, Sarah Pizzini. If pressed, she'd admit that with 4 kids of her own and no husband, Aunt Rhonda doesn't have much time for her, and Sarah seems to be preoccupied as late. So yeah, maybe she does want attention. But now she thinks, is this what I had in mind? Now come on, this is for Bellissima magazine. They want to see the behind-the-scenes action for their previews, so show them. God, Rico, I can't hold my breath forever for this information. This rubber stuff isn't well ventilated. Excuse me. For your information, rather. All you do is complain, Simone. Now come on, look kinky. Just hurry, I can't keep this pose much longer. One day I'm going to be hosting my own show on MTV and I won't have to listen, I won't have to follow your stupid orders. Wow. Cameron, I'm still on Milan time. How long until our next appointment? Oh my God, she's here. They said she didn't have time to stop in. Lisa, I'm not supposed to have you back here. 1 hour and 20 minutes. Who? Well, well. Looks like the fetish ball fashion show in here, Miss Boucher. These girls hardly seem the type. Julian, they don't have to seem the type. They just have to look the type. There is a difference. Well, now, there's a face. Miss Moucher, I'm Lindsay Wells. I've been with your firm for 2 years now. This is it. Look at this face. Cameron, take a note to call Miss Wells regarding... What is your name, darling? Lisa Buzanis, Miss Moucher. Lisa, I adore your look. You have the fresh scrubbed image I'm after for our spring shows. Julian, call for the limo. I'm famished. Amazon restaurant. Yes, I'll be playing a few acoustic songs, but you, Mr. Irons, you will be the highlight of the fundraiser. And I must say, your restaurant is breathtaking. Really, Gordon, you do flatter me so. Please, call me Sting. I don't get the chance to visit the Amazon nearly as much as I used to, so I brought a little of it back to New York. Here, you can enjoy all the sights and sounds of the rainforest without getting waterlogged. I know Mr. Nottingham here prefers it that way. Yeah, Ian? Mr. Irons, not to change the subject, but about your contribution, I'll just need a ballpark number for the news reporters and press releases. Oh, of course. Nottingham, what did I quote this morning? I dare say I believe you were eavesdropping on my conversation while tied up in my office. Heh, you damn bastard. Perhaps you'd like to keep your rude comments to yourself and answer the question? Perhaps not, Ken. Ian, you're delirious from this morning. Is this how you thank me? How easily you forget who saved your life. Who brought you back to consciousness? I didn't ask to be. I really don't need to know right now. My apologies to you and Mr. Nottingham. I've been very busy and my staff's been through a downsizing. Really, there is no need for you to apologize, Mr. Irons. And I believe the contribution you quoted was an even $2 million. For the fight against wrongfully mistreated citizens in third world countries. $2 million it is. You are too generous, Mr. Irons. But for that, I'll expect you to take requests during your show. I'm kidding, of course. Ha 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 ha. 4:10 p.m., same building. Irons International Investment and Holdings, I see. You certainly are an interesting man, Ken. So it was you who sent me the flowers. Well, Mr. Irons, you seem to know so much about me. I want to learn what you're about. Irons International Investment and Holdings, please hold. Davin! Hold a sec. I've got two conference calls to patch into Mr. Irons. No, I told you I'm working through lunch. He's having this huge meeting. A very large deal. Okay, bye. Well, this certainly isn't where the office action is. Ah, here we go. Mr. Nottingham, Mr. Irons told me you have some of the rarest Japanese swords on this earth. He said you might show me. Oh, he did he? There really is no such thing as a secured floor. Regulation fire exits are supposed to have storeroom locks installed so that you can only go through a door one way and not re-enter. But more often than not, contractors just put in unlockable doors to alleviate lawsuits if a lock should jam during a fire. Suits me just fine. This is a nice office, Ken. I'll bet some high-powered meetings go on in these 30 billion is my offer. Afraid we don't have more liquid capital. Come, Mr. Afzali. For 10 more, I'm sure we could find a very smooth transition in selling that oil. Oh my God, how did he know? Gentlemen, excuse me for a moment. Miss Pazzini seemed to have some interest in me after all. Pity you had to flee. Excuse me, we'll try that one again. Pity you had to flee. No matter, we'll meet again. My apologies, gentlemen. Now, where were we? 11:55 p.m. Ha ha, yes. The idea that assault or homicide cannot be committed in public spaces is a fallacy. Murderers know no boundaries. From the inside of executive boardrooms to the dark alleys or on a subway platform in New York, no one is safe. Especially not a young model venturing far away from home. Yes, the city's a very scary place. Please, leave me alone. And it's not just the criminals that are frightening. It's the bystanders' indifference. They've got their kids to go home to. No time to get involved with a murder. Paperwork alone would take you 2 hours. Somebody help me! But most of all, as long as it's not a friend or a relative, no one really cares. And this girl, this third within days to be executed by the infamous microwave murderer, was no friend or relative of these bystanders. Nor were they interested in receiving the same fate as they casually turned their heads and watched the cloaked figure depart as their train approached. They left a burnt husk of a woman behind and tried to quickly delete what they'd seen from their minds as they rode home. 3:25 a.m. The PI's resource department's a pretty dead place these days. It's easier to hand some bum a $5 bill than to bang on a computer. Most of the info in these computers aren't worth a damn when dealing with 16-year-old murderers. But they are good for finding information about a person who is prominent enough to have a public file. Hey, Cooper. Oh, nothing much. Just working, we'll try that one again, guys. Hey, Cooper. Oh, nothing much. Just working. Oh, I have something you'd be interested in. My sister just left me a message telling me she's flying in for a little stay. You and her hit it off last time, didn't you? You know, Coop, I can't be held responsible for it. Just because she left you stranded in Brooklyn with your pants down doesn't mean it's my fault. Ha ha. But back to business. What'd you find? Nothing. Are you sure? What about listed under just Irons International? You're kidding. He's squeaky clean. Look, don't go off on me. I never really paid attention to him. You know I don't watch TV. The news? Coop, my job doesn't afford me the luxury to hear watered-down sensationalistic crap. Yeah, bye. Kenneth Irons, you really want to buy me coffee? God, it's been a long day. I see I'm not alone anymore. It's gone. I need you, Sarah. You may fear released, but the Witchblade still surrounds you. That I know. These doors are not open to me. But you have access. I can help you understand if you pay my price. Here's a connection you failed to see. And one you just don't understand. This is part of me. Everything here is a part of you. You don't need to be afraid. You're transformed and will never be the same. Accept it. You want so badly to be a hero, do you not? I can take you. So violent. You're powerless here. But I am free here. Forgive me for not being able to complete my assignment. For not being able to end your life and set you completely free from the consequences of the Witchblade. Perhaps there is another way. Another door. Look! What we found must never... Stop! We can do one more. Oh, we gotta look at the cover. Ooh, I like this one. Love that art. Same crew. Calvary Cemetery, 11:30 a.m. And as we lay Michael Yee to rest, I'm reminded of the writings of A.L. Frink. Near shady wall a rose once grew, budded and blossomed in God's free light, watered and fed by morning dew, shedding its sweetness day and night. As it grew and blossomed fair and tall, slowly rising to loftier height, it came upon a crevice in the wall, through which there shone a beam of light. Onward it crept with added strength, with never a thought of fear or pride, it followed the light through the crevice's length and enfolded itself on the other side. Shall claim of death cause us to grieve and make our courage fainter fall? No! Let us faith and hope receive. The rose still grows beyond the wall, scattering fragrance far and wide, just as it did in days of yore, just as it did on the other side, just as it will forevermore. Why couldn't it have been raining? It's such a beautiful day, like you're not even dead. Most of these guys, as soon as they get out of here, they're gonna fire up the barbecue, take the kids to the park, like you're not even gone. Michael, I don't want to let you go. Maybe I should have seen the grievance counselor. Maybe I just really need to take some time and mourn like real people do. Hard to not be preoccupied with the other stuff that's been going on. The dream, Ken Irons, this thing on my wrist. The dream, he called it the Witchblade. And while I'm heading my own personal investigation, the man who ordered your death is still out there. I know, because he nearly killed me. So here I am, blinking back tears so no one will see me cry. And if I did, would these tears be only for you, Michael? Would they be because I know you'll never see your daughter grow up? Or do you suppose it would be for everything that's happened to me these past few days? And here your family mourns you properly. With tears and sobs. Why am I so concerned with being composed and noble about this? Part of me wants to break down, and the other part wants to be like steel, so that nothing can get to me. But Michael, I'm staying strong for you. You would have wanted it that way, to act like you're not even dead. Sizzler, for Christ's sakes. What's it gonna be this time? God knows I'll have to. Oh, hold on. Hold on. Let me redo this just a little bit. She says, but Michael, I'm staying strong for you. You would have wanted it that way, to act like you're not even dead. God knows I'll have to. Seltzer, for Christ's sakes, what's it gonna be this time? Well, Detective Pazzini, you're looking in fine health. You must tell me your rejuvenation secrets. Maybe you should have tried some out on your partner. Seltzer, get out of my face. She's still officially on leave, Seltzer. Stow the questions a while. Joe Siri, always there for me. How you doing, kiddo? Pez! Sarah, I'm always available if you want to talk about anything. You know my number. Dahlia misses your late-night calls anyway. Thanks, Chief. Nice outfit, huh? Not quite as hot as what she wore to the Rialto, but still nice. Whatever. I'm gonna walk for a while, Joe. Maybe catch a cab. That limo's kind of depressing. Sure, take it easy. Pez, Sarah, where are you? Ugh, don't even wait till ye's body cools, eh, Jake? Now that's a desperate man. Still, I wouldn't mess with her if I were you. She's one of those psycho bitches. Great bod, though. Might be worth it. You hear a story about the Rialto? Sounded pretty shady to me. I'll bet ye tried to get a piece of her action. Maybe she liked it. Maybe things got out of... Come on, do it. Hit me, you sorry-ass, wimpy bastard. I'm gonna what, huh? I'll have your badge so fast. You know what? You're not worth my time. I've got more important things to take care of. Where am I going? For some reason, I thought walking a few blocks would miraculously put my life in order. Surprise, it didn't. Gotta retrace my steps, rethink my situation. Start acting like a cop again, something I haven't done for a while. Funny, back when I was in the academy, a psychologist told me I was one of the more together people he'd interviewed. He asked if I really wanted to get into homicide. He figured I'd get desensitized like most of the detectives around here. Some of those guys can make a joke when they see a young boy blow a hole in his mother for food stamps. It's not supposed to get me down, but it does. How people have such disregard for human life will forever be a mystery to me. And those are the good guys. And my dream, what did it mean? The man with the sword, those very hands that in reality hurt me, were in my dream state, caressing me. Oh damn, it's the 10th and I still haven't paid my rent. Damn it. How about that coffee, Sarah? I know that voice. I know who I'm going to see when I look up. It's him. I saw you walking out of the cemetery. I'm sorry about your partner. Michael, was it? I read about it in the paper. I sent you those flowers in the hospital because I had a similar experience and I remember what it felt like. I just wanted to express my sympathy, but when I saw you at the gym... Ken, why are you following me? Following? I recall one particular lady doing some rather good investigative work at my office. Ah, well, you did give me your card. I wanted to talk to you about what happened on Liberty Island. Yes, that. How has the Witchblade been treating you? Stop. Why, oh God, you know. What the hell? Sarah, wait. I have answers for you. Please, what you have is dangerous. If you come with me, I can help you realize just what it is you've got on you. Sarah, thank you for this opportunity. We can take my car. No, I'll get a cab. I've had pretty bad luck with limos. Kenneth Irons, Sarah, what are you getting yourself into? 1:15 p.m. A model, me, just like Christy, Naomi, L, Uma, and Kate. Sarah, you better be home. Come on, a little bit harder. Oh, yeah, push, be gentle, come on. Closer. Hi, what are you doing? This is Sarah's apartment. Got it. Huh? Oh? Hi, you're friends with my sister? I'm Julie Pazzini. I'm from Hollywood. you know, I just flew into town and I must have lost my key or something. I've been meeting up with Oliver Stone, having auditions and modeling. I just did an incredible fashion show in Rome. I got to wear the coolest Anna Sui dress. Hey, don't just stand there. You can come in. Sarah won't mind. How do you know my sister? Modeling? Oh, dear sister, look how neat you are if Mom could see it now. You know, I'm just in the city for a couple of days. I got contacts to make. Ouch magazine needs a... Excuse me, we'll try that one again, guys. You know, I'm just in the city for a couple of days. I've got contacts to make. Ouch magazine needs a model with a 19-inch waist and a beautiful back for a cover shot. I intend to get the job. Let's see. Aha, just what the doctor ordered. You, Doug, I swear this guy never gives up. Hey, have a drink with me. I can't. Why? Well, okay. I'm going to be modeling for Bolshare. Bolshare? You? Really? Well, Danyette is into a certain type of face, and yep, you've got it. What are you, 12? Now, come on, hurry. I did a show for Danyette a year ago. Let's go pay her officers a visit. Maybe I can help your career. I am in the know. You'd help me? Really? Hey, stick with me and all your worries are gone. I know everyone. Now, a toast to wild abandon and dumb men with money. Aha! Drink up! Central Park West, 2:20 p.m. Good afternoon, sir. Jerome's my doorman. Anytime you want to leave, just say the word. It's happening. It's so exhilarating, wishing he could tell her the plan. Just a little hint, but no, it's not time yet. Even though he's gone over this in his mind thousands of times, he still can't believe it's really happening. Where to begin? All right, long before I became a businessman, I worked with my father, a renowned archaeologist in Egypt. Together we went on expedition after expedition. As professor at the University of Cairo, he uncovered many rare artifacts and a number of mysteries that mankind still rejects. It was there that we first learned of the Witchblade. The name comes from several translations and has very little to do with witchcraft or anything of that sort. The hell with explanations, he thinks. The Witchblade is so close to being his. Why not just do it? No. Savor the moment. They'll share a lifetime together. He and the Witchblade. My father and his closest associates believe the Witchblade to be an item that is not of some magical makeup, but rather an extraterrestrial item. And, as you will see, it is most likely connected to a number of historic events where the supernatural occurred. In the simplest terms, we don't know where it comes from, but after my father died in a cave accident, I took over his search. It is what I spent much of my life doing until I finally found it during an excavation in Greece. I like to think of myself as well-educated, Ken, but I have never heard of anything like this. How do you know I don't? Not exactly. But I have collected many artifacts and documents to suggest we were right. Come, let me show you the small exhibit I keep here at my house. Perhaps you might see some similarities. Oh my God. Unbelievable, he thinks. Here in the chamber devoted to the Witchblade walks its present wielder. How divinely precious. Joan of Arc, a saint claiming to hear voices, urging her to fight against seemingly insurmountable odds during the Hundred Years' War. It is written her sword seemingly came to life during her battles, and after her capture at Compiègne... That's what it says, or Compiègne? Her weapon disappeared from her hand. Curiously, she was only vulnerable without it. No one knows why she abandoned it. Maybe true martyrdom. We'll never know. Irons knows that Sarah will never abandon the Witchblade. He'll make sure of that. Joan of Arc? Hearing voices? Oh, God. This is all incredible, but how does this tie into why you were at Liberty Island? Please explain that to me. No, she ruined the moment. Irons wishes he could hit her for desecrating this room with meaningless chatter, but striking her would be counterproductive. Ahem. Well, Ian Nottingham and myself used to be co-workers on a journey that took us to Delhi. He and I both were versed in the Witchblade. While I wanted to find the rightful owner and educate them, Nottingham wanted to use the power for his own selfish purposes. He is recently here from the British Isles, and I have been watching him carefully. I knew of his tournament at the Rialto Theater, and I honestly didn't think he'd trail you so closely and intend to do you such damage. I certainly couldn't let you get hurt, so I intervened. She seems satisfied with the explanation. Time to get to the exciting part of his lecture. Now look around you, Sarah, at the former wielders of the Witchblade. This urn, dated back to roughly 340 BC, is believed to represent a mysterious advisor to Alexander the Great, who assisted the warrior in his conquest of Thebes. What a waste, he thinks. She'll never be able to really appreciate the grandeur of the Witchblade. Nobody can except him. Egypt's Fourth Dynasty achieved unsurpassed greatness. Supernatural feats were reported on an almost daily basis as this empire rose. Again, the Witchblade obviously played a role. So that's why you've been so interested in me. Yes, I mean, no, Sarah, there is something about the Witchblade I haven't told you. It only has one owner over a given period of time. Anyone else who tries to possess it shall perish. I know what happened at the Rialto. Sarah, whether you like it or not, you are a changed person. It's up to you to decide whether this is the life you want to lead. I can help you deal with it or help you remove it. I will abide by any decision you choose. Yes, he will, as long as it's the right one. Oh, if only this coarse policewoman could truly enjoy what is happening. They could laugh and share a cognac before they begin the procedure, but no, she's not the type to appreciate such fineries. He can't take much more. Time to begin. Please, feel free to look around. All this is now a connection. Connection to you. What a beautiful tapestry. Yes, he secretly implores her. Go through the door. Go on. Let it begin right here. Right now. But then the businessman in him takes over. It is not the right time. He must be patient. He's waited over 80 years for this moment. What's another couple days? I'm sorry, Miss Pizzini, but I have a meeting I must attend to. I'll show you to the door. Beep, beep, beep. 7.05 p.m., 28th Street, IRT Station. Electrical's been tripped since the murder. Subway's not running. Nearly collided with another train. Why isn't anyone connecting this? Microwave murderer. Damn it. We should have more leads than this. No blood, no fibers, no prints, and no witnesses. It's gotta be connected. It's all connected. Even I know that. Who? The murderer's at the Rialto, honeypot. Excuse me, we'll try that one again. The murderer's at the Rialto. Or rather, the murders at the Rialto, Honeypot, Liberty Island. Let me guess, you're one of the dicks on this case who won't talk to me, right? I work for WGOR, Channel 81. My name's Becca. Cops hate me because I find stuff out they can't. I'm a better investigator and I'll put my life on the line for it. What is your point in all this? My point is, you're the first cop I've seen who's paid any attention to these murders. The Rialto fiasco? All those cons die, and no one does a thing about it. I mean, I know they're crooks and all, but they got families, too. Not a peep from the cops. Friend of mine took a look and said police tape hasn't even been broken here yet. By the way, what's your name? I'm Jake, and yes, I am investigating. Please continue. Well, seems a scary guy been looming around the place before it happened. I mean, that place wasn't even open for business. It had to get all remodeled somehow. And you and I both know those kind of permits aren't easy to get. Gotta pay tax on it and everything. So, what I'm saying is that how come nothing's been done by the cops? I'll tell you how come. Because they're too freaked out by this guy. They call him Mr. Nottingham. The rumors with the homeless around is that he paid them off to turn their backs. You hear me? Paid them off. Tell me more. 7:40 p.m. Sarah, I know this is a lot for you to absorb, but there's still so much you still need to know. I want to see you tomorrow and tell you more. I know there is so much, but I have to say it's beginning to make some sense. The people coming after me, that one you know, he and Nottingham, I'll definitely call you. He should be of no concern to you right now. Here, let me hail you a cab. No thanks, it's such a beautiful night. I'll just walk through the park. All right, I trust you know how to take care of yourself, Detective. Sarah, things will get better. I know they will, Ken. Yes, I think I can take care of myself here. I love this time of night here. Central Park, the prettiest place in Manhattan without a cover charge. Unfortunately, it's also one of the most dangerous after dark. How ironic, I've never had a problem here, though even before I was issued my 357. Chick, chick, movement from over there. Chill out. I'm getting paranoid. Probably a squirrel. No, that's someone. Click. Okay, relax. Scan. Okay, nothing. Okay. It's him. It's Ian Nottingham. Freeze! I said freeze! Bam! 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 He may have been able to take on the Witchblade, but this time I'm better prepared. These bullets have taken down men bigger than him. I unloaded into him. Oh, no, don't fight me! Cram! Okay, assess the situation. I know at least two bullets must have penetrated his chest cavity. Just have to wait him out. Too bad perps don't really fall down right when they get shot. That only happens in the movies. Wait. No, he's close. I have to find a way out. Oh, I need you now. Witchblade, please work. Please, why won't you do something? Anything. Work. God, please. This can't be. A dirty fighter. I like that. But if you run, you leave me no choice. Whoosh. Miss Pizzini, I just want to talk. All right, guys. We will see you next time on Grimm's Comics Corner with more Witchblade. I'm out.